How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast live edition here on Silver Screen and Roll's Facebook account. I am Anthony Irwin. I'm usually joined by Harrison Fagan, but for this episode here, it's just going to be me riding solo. I took some questions on Twitter. I'll be answering some of your questions here in a bit whenever they start coming in. I am in the new digs. Hopefully here before too long, I'll have, you know, some posters over there. I have my Kobe thing right there. This is where I will probably be hosting the post-game stuff as the season rolls around. So I'm excited to be here in front of you guys. Let's start with the first question. And I guess really quickly, I'll run through the latest and greatest news. Most recently, Magic Johnson said that he was going to he was willing to pay the $500,000 fine straight from his salary. He must be making quite a nice salary if that is the case. He's doing pretty well. That would be a cool gesture, though, considering, you know, this is kind of his thing. That was him and Pelinka that broke the rules and were caught tampering. Some of the concern with the tampering allegations and eventually the punishment is you have to be some kind, you know, special kind of stupid to get caught tampering in today's NBA. And that is, you know, that's the number one thing. Maybe it's just, you know, early tenure struggles. Maybe it's just, you know, circumstance that kind of led to this kind of thing. But it's not a great way to start your administration. And, you know, the $500,000 fine, you know, I just kind of laughed it off a second ago, but it's one of the bigger fines in the history of the NBA. And, you know, the Lakers are fortunate that they did not get dinged higher and are still able to, you know, acquire Paul George when he becomes a free agent. And you know, they didn't lose any draft picks. Anything like that didn't happen. So, you know, could be better, could be worse. Hopefully Magic and Rob Pelinka learn from their mistakes. And moving forward, they, you know, they toe the line a little bit. You know, and look, in the NBA, you can get away with a lot of this stuff. It's just a matter of not being ridiculously obvious in what you're trying to do. And that's not what they did. That's just frankly, you know, it sounds like Pelinka almost essentially sent an email to, I think it was Paul George's agent, asking about interest. That's probably not a great look. Probably want to avoid that from now on, Robbie. All right, I will get to the first few questions. I asked for questions last night and then took some more questions today as I was getting ready here. First question that I got last night, will you and Harrison do a charity boxing match for Hurricane Harvey? We need it down here in Houston, please. First and foremost, I hope all is you know, I hope at Knicks Outsiders sent that to us. I hope you're safe down there in Houston. That is a, you know, it continues to be a terrible and disarming, the pictures and images that we see from down there. So thoughts and prayers go out to Houston. J.J. Watt is holding it down. I know the former, now former, Rockets owner made a $10 million donation. James Harden made a $1 million donation. And we've seen people across sports, across culture, continue to help people out in ways that, you know, they really need it. And it looks like it's going to be a busy hurricane season with now we're getting Hurricane Irma rolling into New Orleans. Just stay safe out there, first and foremost. I don't think we'll get a boxing match anytime soon between Harrison and me. Harrison is a little slight of frame. I think that's how I'll put it. He's not exactly a formative potential opponent. I'm not going to claim I was ever good at boxing, but I box semi-professionally. So I don't know if Harrison would be all that interested in that. And I think he said on Twitter that that probably was not going to be a thing. So sorry, we'll if there's any other way that we can help, and you know, I believe my wife and I have already donated to the Red Cross. But if there's any other way we can help, other than thoughts and prayers, please let us know.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
All right, Kevin Nonis, at KD Nonis. Would you really want LeBron on the Lakers? If it were possible, why not get PG-13 and DeMarcus Cousins? LBJ is great, but I feel it hurts the growth. This is just a general rule, and I'm going to say this as plainly as I possibly can. Anytime the generation's best player is interested in coming to your team, you don't shun him at the door. Just generally speaking, you don't push a LeBron James away. If Kobe hadn't played as a Laker all of his career and then said he wanted to be a Laker for like the last 5 years of his career, I'm sure Laker fans probably would have taken that opportunity. Just like, you know, the Suns took the opportunity with Shaq. The Celtics wound up doubling down on that opportunity and got Fat Shaq out there in Boston. But look, if LeBron is really as interested as it seems like he might be, by the way, and we just had a really good episode with Eric Pincus from Bleacher Report. He came on and he explained all the minutia of the moves that the Lakers would have to make to acquire LeBron. But if he wants to come, the Lakers have to make room to get him. That's just generally how that goes. In terms of the other guys around him, you know, I could understand why somebody would be a little iffy at, you know, maybe Paul George and LeBron. You worry about some of the overlap there. I would disagree because I think the most important position in basketball right now is that small forward or a small forward who can play power forward. And that is both Paul George and LeBron James. If you can have two of those guys, you take that opportunity every day of the week and twice on Sunday. But DeMarcus Cousins is a fun target. He would be, you know, the best player that the Lakers have had since prime Kobe. He would immediately probably launch them into the playoff contention. I still don't know if I would necessarily make the Lakers a guaranteed playoff team if it was just DeMarcus Cousins, because then you're just basically the Sacramento Kings South, and nobody really wants to be the Sacramento Kings South. I don't even think the Kings themselves want to be the Sacramento Kings North, to be completely honest. But you hope you can get, if you're getting a DeMarcus Cousins, you hope you can get another player alongside him. There was a report, I believe, over the weekend or maybe, you know, last week sometime that LeBron is interested in playing with Russell Westbrook. That would be really fun. That would probably be my most ideal combination of the two, of two max guys. But if that is the case, then the Lakers have to clear up $70 million in cap space next year, and they do not have that right now as it currently stands. Next question from at A-M-W-E-R-O-N, so Am Warren, Alex Warren. He asked, most improved dark horse player on the Lakers this season? All right, so the dark horse would mean somebody who nobody is really selecting, right? So I can't say Brandon Ingram. Probably can't say, you know, like Larry Nance Jr. or Julius Randle, because those two guys look like they're most ready to improve. I want to say, I mean, like, just for lack of other choices, I might say Ivica Zubac, but based on what we saw out there in Vegas, that was not great. So you probably want to see a little bit more from him before you really put money on him actually improving. And then in terms of minutes that he'd be able to play, he's basically Brook Lopez light. And if the Lakers, you know, when you go to the bench, part of what you're hoping to do is change up the speed there. And if you're going from Brook Lopez to Ivica Zubac, you're literally not changing your speed at all. So probably not going to go with Zubac. So that really leaves whom? I'll say Nance. I'll say Nance. I said a second ago I wasn't going to say Nance, but I think Nance, he started to show more willingness to shoot last season. He's going to have guys like Randle, who's already ahead of him, and Kyle Kuzma breathing down his neck. And he just seems like the kind of guy who wants to go out there and work really hard. So I'll say it's Nance, though I don't feel particularly great about it because of how crowded that front court is right now. Mike Perez asks, would you trade Harrison to Locked On Cavs if it meant LeBron comes to the Lakers? I would trade Harrison to Locked On Cavs if it meant Tristan Thompson came to the Lakers. Don't tell him I said that, though. Let's see, another one. All right, so Ben Rosales asks, is the Pacers' possible suit over the tampering issue stupid, dumb, petty, inane, or embarrassing? My answer to that will be yes. All of the above. It was a lame move on Indiana's part. Felt like whining. I just think in a league where there's tampering going on at all times between players, between agents, all these kind of back channeling things. And now, yes, if the Lakers did something as egregious as, you know, some have reported, then sure, fine. You can, you know, I guess you can get away with whining a little bit, but really, it really felt like Indiana was whining because they lost their best player ever. You know, and you know, maybe you don't want to knock him for that because losing a Paul George probably does suck. But, you know, they could have just appeased him. They could have not broken up that team that took Miami to whatever it was, 6 or 7 games in the Eastern Conference Finals. They could have been more patient and allowed Roy Hibbert to get healthier when you know, they wanted to keep that core intact. They could have not sent Lance or they could have paid Lance, whatever his face, Stevenson. You know, they could have done all these things that reportedly pissed off Paul George, and they didn't. And they let themselves open to losing, you know, like I said a second ago, the best player in their team's franchise history. They didn't do that. They wound up trading him away. Because of their own pettiness, they traded him away for probably a worse package. They took on Victor Oladipo's contract and Domantas Sabonis. Domantas Sabonis. that's not the return you want to get when you're trading away a franchise cornerstone like Paul George has been. And the Lakers, as they showed, were willing to part with a D'Angelo Russell. And I'm just going to say flat out, I think D'Angelo Russell is going to have a better career than Victor Oladipo. And if you had the opportunity, as the Indiana Pacers probably did, to get him, you take the best package, even if it pisses off, or even if it appeases Paul George in his demands to go out west. Like, even I think they had better packages in the Eastern Conference, and they passed up on those as well. So, like, really, at the end of the day, sure, whine all you want, Indiana, but the reason you're sitting in the predicament you currently are right now, you have to look squarely in the mirror to respond that way. Finally, at Justin21LAL asks, will LeBron wear 6 or 23 on the Lakers? What number will Paul George wear, since 13 and 24 are both available unavailable? I think LeBron switches it up completely. I think LeBron, you know, kind of throws a complete curveball, gets away from either the iterations of 6 or 23 or whatever it would be, you know, nobody wants to throw dirt on Cedric Ceballos' old jersey's grave. Actually, I do. He trashed the Lakers on his way out. But I think LeBron switches it up completely. Paul George, I joked earlier because his nickname recently has been PG-13. I think it'd be really funny if his jersey number was R, you know, kind of stepping up in his career and see how that turns out. But somehow I feel like that might be illegal. So I say he goes with 22. I don't know why. Feels really random, but he goes with 22. Let's get my last Twitter question here. And if you guys have any questions on here on Facebook Live, throw them out to me. Who has the most to prove this season? This is a pretty easy one. It is Marcelo. No, he's not on the team anymore. I'm going with Brandon Ingram. He will be the spotlight will be squarely on him. Now, I guess there's kind of a dichotomy of analysis that you could take here. You could say on one hand, you could say Brandon Ingram has to show enough so that Paul George and LeBron James, if they are interested in coming at season's end, that their first inclination isn't, all right, ship this guy out of here for whatever you can. We need veteran help. We're trying to beat Golden State, right? So Brandon Ingram will have that target on his back because he will be when the Lakers or when if and when LeBron or whatever max guys show up next, Brandon Ingram will probably be the most intriguing asset that the Lakers could potentially move, other, you know, unless they want to move like Alonzo Ball, but I really doubt they will. So if it comes down to it and LeBron and Paul George want another guy to try to compete against Golden State with, then it's Ingram who gets shown the door, unless he shows enough that the Lakers are like, no, we have to keep this guy. He has too bright a future at this point, right? But the other side of that is, let's say LeBron and Paul George say, look, we are going to show up and we'll compete as best we can. We don't want to ruin your future. So we'll keep Ingram around. And all he has to do at that point would be like a 20-minute-a-game guy off of the bench behind LeBron and or Paul George. Expectations fall through the basement in that case. And he now gets to live out the rest of his career or a good chunk of his career playing with two of the better small forward, power forward kind of combo wings that the NBA has really produced in quite some time. So I'd go with Ingram. He has a lot to prove because he wasn't good for most of last year. He has a lot to prove because he is a cornerstone piece as it currently sits right now. And look, I gave that hypothetical out based on what it would be like for Ingram if LeBron and/or Paul George or whoever max, whichever max guys you prefer, come over at the a year from now. If those guys don't come, then Ingram has to be a superstar for the Lakers to not fall into not even mediocrity, but just bad basketball. Like they will be, if those guys don't come and Ingram doesn't take, you know, steps forward, giant steps forward this year, the Lakers will be kind of looking at some dark times ahead because now you're relying on Lonzo Ball, who, yes, he was great in Las Vegas, and yes, I think he's going to be great, but you're still relying on what will be a second-year player and a third-year player. And if Brandon Ingram doesn't take steps forward, you'll be relying on a third-year player who has only had maybe 1 month of good NBA basketball under his belt. That's a little terrifying as a Laker fan. And Laker fans, like, that's the doomsday situation. Those guys don't come, and Ingram doesn't take steps forward. Julius Randle doesn't take steps forward. Kyle Kuzma's Vegas is something that, you know, he's not going to carry that over to the NBA, but he doesn't transfer over 50% of that. You know, all these things, if that all happens and the Lakers are looking at, you know, continuing to have to tank, one, I don't think that's what Magic signed up for. Two, I know Laker fans are going to start getting sick of building through the draft. And three, and most importantly here, three, you don't really have anywhere to go because you're going to have to start paying guys like Julius Randle and the previous rookie guys. Ingram's contract is going to come up in a couple of years now. And now you start getting strapped to these guys who, if they're busts, you wind up, you know, you don't ever want to draft a bust because, one, you wind up having to lose a bust for nothing. So if Ingram does leave and regains any kind of form of his game elsewhere, it'll be elsewhere, and you will probably not have given up anything for it. And look, I mean, it's the Lakers. Like, we've had enough of bad basketball. This next season is as intriguing as any in recent memory, mostly because there's no incentive to suck. They don't get any kind of draft pick at coming this next season or next offseason. So you take what you can this year. You win as many games as you possibly can. The starting five that the Lakers have currently makes a bunch of sense. We'll see how all those guys grow, but Ingram does have a target on his back. And look, you know, maybe he plays in Lonzo's shadow, you know, Lonzo steps in and is immediately that kind of alpha dog, alpha male, and that helps Ingram. But at some point, Ingram is going to have to step forward on his own and actually earn his number two draft pick status. And hopefully that's this year. Because if it isn't this year, I just don't know what his future with the Lakers really looks like, to be completely honest. All right, that does it, seeing as unless I have any more questions here, I don't believe I do. Nope. This was a lot of fun. I'm Anthony Irwin. You can find this, if you missed any part of this, you can always go back and watch it. But if you just want the audio form, it's going to be on iTunes, Audio Boom, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Again, Anthony Irwin, at Anthony Irwin LA on Twitter. I usually have the show with Harrison Fagan. He is at HM Fagan on Twitter. I will be back probably, we're going to try for once a week as we get closer to the season here. Send in those questions on Twitter. I'm always down to have a back and forth. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and I'll talk to you later.